Blog Talk Radio.
Separate me from you today. Teach me how to choose only your way today, so each step will lead me closer to you. Help me walk by the word and not my feelings. Help me to keep my heart pure and undivided. Protect me from my own careless thoughts, words, and actions. And keep me from being distracted by my wants my desires, my thoughts on how things should be. Help me to embrace what comes my way as an opportunity rather than a personal inconvenience. And finally, help me to rest in the truth of Psalm 86:13. Great is your love toward me. You already see the ways I will fall short and mess up, but right now, I consciously tuck your whisper of absolute love for me into the deepest part of my heart. I recognize your love for me is not based on my performance. You love me, warts and all. That's amazing. But what's most amazing is that the Savior of the world would desire a few minutes with me this morning. Lord, help me to forever remember what a gift it is to sit with you like this. Amen.
My message is entitled, "The Wolf is at the Door." The wolf is at the door. Father, I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for your word. It's a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. I thank you, Lord, for the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit that gives us new hearts, Lord, so that we can stretch out beyond our limitations and be ambassadors of you and your word to all who can still hear. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of your spirit. I thank you for courage and compassion today, God, to speak things that need to be spoken in this generation. Help us, Lord, as a church, never to back away from truth. Help us to go forward and let it fall where it may. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The wolf is at the door. Isaiah chapter 53, prophet Isaiah says these words, "Who has believed our report?" Beginning at verse 1. "And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." You know, it's so important before we even begin to look at this passage of Scripture to understand that it was a religious system that crucified Christ. You know, we understand that the Roman authorities were the instruments of his death, but it was the religious order of the day, created by God's own people, that put the Son of God on a cross. There were leaders in that generation, and they had used their position over the people to garner titles for themselves. They had adorned themselves in righteous robes, as they saw it, and they loved to parade among the people, as Jesus said, and be called master, teacher, teacher, teacher in the marketplace. But Jesus himself came in a form that he did not take on this form of grandeur that men give to themselves. And also, too, they created a system of salvation that was much wider and much more inclusive than the one that God had given to us. As a matter of fact, it was so narrow that Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me." They were so offended when he challenged their religious system because they had created this wide door into eternal life and eternal bliss with God that doesn't exist. All kinds of people were coming into the temple defiled and going out defiled. They were living in manners and ways that the Bible clearly indicated would leave them excluded from the kingdom of God forever. And so in comes this man. He's not interested in their system. He's not trying to garner one of their titles. He's not doing things their way. The Bible says there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. He's not dressed in righteous robes. He's not got boxes on his forehead. He's not walking around with tassels on his arms. He's not parading like some rooster before the people, talking about how close to God he actually is. They despised him and rejected him because he challenged the religious system. They had created a system of redemption that did not exist. Do you understand? And that's the propensity of humankind. The original sin in the Garden of Eden is that we can be as God is. Remember, we can become judges of what's good and what's evil. And if you take that to its logical extension, we can start declaring things that are God forgives when he doesn't. We can start declaring behaviors righteous when they're not. We can start telling people they're going to heaven when they aren't. That is the grave, grave danger of religion. When humankind in its sin nature is allowed to take it and so twist it and so pervert it that it becomes something that God never intended it to be. Can you imagine sitting in a place as a professed or supposed believer in Christ only to end up at the throne of God one day to find out you've been outside the whole thing all along? What a tragedy that's going to be for so many. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There was a heaviness in the heart of the Son of God as he looked on the people as sheep without a shepherd. But we hid our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. And we are, of course, reliving this scripture again in great measure in our day. In many, many places, even where God's people are gathering, the word of God is despised. And we are now gravitating to fancy preachers who have opened the door real wide to people who are not going to heaven, given them false peace when they're not at peace with God. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old things are what? Passed away. And behold, all things are become new. If we are in Christ, if Christ is in us, that means a new value system. It means a new heart. It means a new mind. It means a new way of speaking, thinking, living. It means that what God says is good, and what God says is evil. We don't try to change that. We accept that from the Word of God. Now, this message is given to shepherds to bring us not only to the knowledge of our salvation, but to the freedom which Christ bought for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his beating, as it is, that he took on the cross, we are healed. The old things don't have power over us anymore unless we choose to let them. The old ways of living, speaking, thinking, doing are broken. And we become new creations in Christ. We are able to look back and say, thank God, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not everything that I hope to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be, and thank God I'm going to be one day what Christ is calling me to be. So there's this constant moving forward in the life of a genuine believer, leaving an old way of thinking, an old way of living, an old way of speaking, and moving to truth, even when it's painful. Book of Proverbs says a righteous person swears to their own hurt and doesn't change. In other words, I say I'm going to do this and I do it because God's word says I should, even if it causes me pain. And I don't turn from it. Now, Paul was this kind of a shepherd. He didn't hold back, as I said earlier. This is what he said in Acts chapter 20, verses 26 to 31. He said, therefore, I testify to you this day, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. In other words, and this is the cry of my heart, if anyone here today, hearing my voice, ends up in hell, let it not be my fault. Let it never be because I didn't declare to you the whole counsel of God, or I didn't warn you of something that had the power to drag you down into eternal darkness. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Paul says, for this I know, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, he said, day and night with tears. Paul said there's going to be wolves that are going to come, and they're already, there's packs of them now. It's not just a few, there's many now in our generation. And they're going to come to devour the sacrifice of Christ and the promise of new life through him. They're going to promise you liberty, as the scripture says in the New Testament, but they themselves are the slaves to corruption. They're promising something they're not experiencing themselves, and they can't deliver it. Listen to what Jude says, the last book of the New Testament before the book of the Revelation. Verse 3 says, behold, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Here's what the wolves do. They teach that you can live a lifestyle against the word of God and still claim heaven as your eternal home. That is the wolf that's now at the door of the Christian church in America. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, that means people who engage in sexual intercourse outside of the bonds of marriage between one man and one woman. Fornicators are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Settle it. It's in the word of God. Don't be deceived into thinking you can live an immoral lifestyle and heaven will still be your home. So hard for this generation to hear. When you've got preachers standing in pulpits saying, well, God understands your need and God is a God of love and God won't send anybody to hell. No, that's not true. God is a God of love. We know that. But the Bible tells us that fornicators have no inheritance in the kingdom of God, nor idolaters, people who have other loves in there, something that is in your life that is your whole obsession. Churches or Christ is just a little part of your life, but there's something else in your life that you're pursuing. Nor adulterers, people who engage, who are married, but engage. And, you know, today we take words like adultery and we call it an extramarital affair, as if it's a black tie event. You know, you are invited to an extramarital affair next Friday at 5 o'clock. Bible calls it adultery. Adultery. Settle it. Deal with it. The sex outside of marriage will keep you outside of the kingdom of God, and sex outside of the bonds of the person that you are married to, the man or woman you're married to, will also keep you outside of the kingdom of God unless it's repented of. Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. In other words, that's both men and women. Folks, listen. I understand the dilemma, in a sense, that some might face in same-sex attraction. But I'm telling you, you can't give in to that lifestyle on any level, because the Bible clearly says it will leave you outside the kingdom of God. Jesus himself said, some people are eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven. So in other words, some people just live their lives without any sexual activity for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And he said, whoever can hear this, let them hear it. You know, you go to a funeral, for example, and you can dress it up with flowers, all around, and you can, there's a death certificate, and the preacher can get up and say nice words. But the reality is that the corpse is still dead. You can't make it live. It doesn't matter what you do. And it's the same with homosexual marriage, folks. I got to say it straight out today. I'm not going to hold back on it. You can adorn it with flowers. You can get a certificate from City Hall. You can find some backslidden preacher to say nice words about it. But the wages of sin is still death. You can't change that. Now listen, I'll be called a hater for this message today. I understand that. But I'm not a hater. If I hated you, I'd let you go to hell. If I hated you, I'd let you die in your sin. If I walk down the street and your house is on fire and you're up in your bedroom window and I don't warn you, am I really a good neighbor? Do I really love you? Do I really care about your eternal destiny? You can curse me out of your bedroom window all you want, but I will still warn you that your house is on fire for your soul's sake. Nor thieves. Lest we should think that we're just going to focus on one thing. Nor thieves. That means people who steal. It's that simple. People who steal. People who steal a little. They have a contract maybe and steal a little bit more than they should. Income tax time is coming around, folks. Are you going to pay your taxes? Nor covetous. Nor drunkards. People who come to church this morning, but you were out at a club last night. You're drinking and dancing and this foolishness, I'm out there to share the testimony of Christ. Who are you kidding? If you really are there to do that, stand on the sidewalk with pamphlets in your hand and give it to the drunks coming out of the club. You don't need to be in there with them. Nor revilers. You know, especially in this environment we're now living in this country at this time, where reviling has become the speech of the day, where it's fashionable just to curse everybody around you. You know, Paul said revilers don't inherit the kingdom of God. We have a different heart. We have a different spirit. We're a different kind of people. Jesus himself said, blessed are the peacemakers. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I love that. Would be to God that I can honestly say that of everybody here today. Such were some of you. But you are sanctified. That means you are set apart for the kingdom of God. You are, you honestly repented. You walked away. You moved away from what God's word says is wrong. You can't make it right. You can't change it. It doesn't matter if a million people say, oh, isn't this wonderful? If God's word says it's not, it's not. You are sanctified. You walked away. You walked away from these old ways of thinking, these old behaviors and all of these things. And you set yourself apart for the kingdom of God. You're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Now, you and I are living in an hour where the wolf is heading to the door of the church, demanding in our generation that we bow down to this new definitions of good and evil. This is where we're living. The days of being able to say without penalty what I'm saying today are over. If they're not over, they're very close to over. It's an amazing time that we're now living in. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. This is the point. There's a lot of hirelings and a lot of pulpits in America today. And they don't necessarily leave the people, but they leave biblical truth. They flee the truth when the wolf is at the door. When the wolf says, if you don't bow down, this is our golden statue. This is what this generation is going to look like. This is what you'll preach. These are the truths that you will espouse. They will bow down when the music plays to save themselves, because it's always been about themselves, not about the people. The hireling will flee. And you will, you are seeing, and you will see a huge departure from biblical truth in the Christian church in this last hour we're living in. The Bible declares that there's going to be an apostasy, a great falling away in the last days from biblical truth. And the hirelings will lead the people, not into the narrow way of eternal life, but into that broad way of destruction. And they flee because it's always been about them. It's been about the robes. It's been about the praises of man. It's been about the titles. It's been about the numbers. It's been about the apparent evidences of success. Then when Christ comes and challenges them, they hate him. His own system hated him. His own people hated him. They pushed him away because he declared their definitions of salvation and truth to be bankrupt. He told them they were full of dead men's bones. He said, you go cross land and sea to get one convert, and you make him twice the child of hell that you've become. These are the words of Christ. He warned us in the last days there would be a great falling away. He warned us. He said, you're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You can't escape that. That's a promise in the Word of God. We're going to be hated. It's starting now. You're seeing it in society. You're seeing it in the workplace. You can't even have an opinion on things anymore in this generation that we're now living in. Let me say it clearly now. Abortion, for the cause of birth control, or so that people, I understand there are extenuating circumstances, so please don't misquote me on this. But for the cause of just birth control, or for the cause of having sexual pleasure and not having to deal with the life that it can create, is sin. Amen. In the sight of a holy God. It's a terrible sin in the sight of a holy God. In America today, the deliberate gender confusing of our children in grade school is sin in the sight of a holy God. In our high schools, forbidding our children to pray and creating this fictitious division between the state and the church, which doesn't exist. If you really study it, you'll understand it never existed. It was created by the godless. Forbidding our children to pray in our schools is sin in the sight of a holy God. In our colleges, allowing godless professors to rise up and mock God and radicalize a whole generation against even their own nation that was founded by God for the purpose of being able to worship according to the Word of God and freely by conscience is sin in the sight of a holy God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So let this society despise him. Let them consider him ordinary. Let them rebel against his words. But this day, as Joshua once said, if it be hard to follow the Lord, that's your choice. Choose this day. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. By the grace of God, we will not bow before the wolf in this generation. By the grace of God, we will stand for the truth of God. By the grace of God, we will pray again. We will pray again as a church age. By the grace of God, we will stand up unashamed for the truth of Jesus Christ. We stand on the side of victory. We stand on the side. We stand on the side of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. And as David the king once did, we will stand in this generation against the lion and the bear and everything that comes in to devour our children. and to devour the people of God. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up. It's time for the people of God to fight back. It's time for us to begin to pray. It's time to run for public office. It's time for teachers to speak. It's time. It's time for the people of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Glory, 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 glory. The true shepherds of God in this generation are going to care more for the people than for their own safety. More than our own reputation. It's not going to be an easy road. But I don't know about you, but I'm not giving up this generation to darkness. I'm going to stand because the word of God stands forever. The opinions of men are like grains of sand on the seashore. They'll fall into nowhere. But the word of God abides forever. Now here's where I conclude. If you're living in sin, I plead with you, while there's still time, turn. Turn from it. And trust God for the strength. I know there's some sitting here or listening online or they're in the annex and they say, you don't know how deep the bondage is. You don't know how powerful the draw is. No, I don't. But I know the Spirit of God is more powerful than all of that put together. And I know the promise of God is that we will have a new life, an eternal life. The days of living in Christian ease is over in America, folks. It's over. We're about to join our brothers and sisters in China and other places who are being persecuted for what they believe. In Iran, who are being jailed and put to death for believing in Christ. We've lived a very comfortable, very lazy Christianity in America, but those days are over. The wolf is now at the door. Pray for those of us who lead in any capacity that God would give us courage. As I pray for you, that God would give you a cleanness of life and practice and heart and give you the courage to speak up in whatever environment you find yourself in. Our children are starving for truth in this generation and they're wide open. There's only a few Goliaths that claim that they have the power to keep us from being the people of God, but they don't. So I challenge you with all my heart, turn from sin, find that new life in Christ, and rise up and be the person that God's called you to be. We're going to sing for just a few moments. We're going to worship. I guess my altar call is just twofold today. It's for people to say, oh God, help me please to turn from this thing in my life. I don't have to tell you what it is, you already know. Help me to turn away from watching pornography. Help me to turn away from drink. Help me, God, to turn away from that flirtation in the office. Help me, God, to stop railing. Get me out of the seat of the scornful, and help me to walk with the righteous. Deliver me, God, from cowardice, and put a love for people in my heart that casts out all fear. Give me a voice to call this generation back to you again. And God, help me not to cower under the fear of the repercussions that will come all of our way. You know, I was in Washington, and there's an ex-general there who really gives courage to my heart every time I meet him and talk with him. And essentially, what he would say if he were standing here is, you have to fight for a cause higher than your own preservation. If it's just about preserving yourself, you'll flee when the enemy comes. If it's about others, you'll stand. May God give us the courage in this generation to stand for those that don't have a voice for themselves, for our children, for for the unborn, for our high school students, for our college students, for every mother, every father, every child in this country that needs to know there's a Savior who died for them. Give us the grace to be kind and compassionate to all, not judging anyone, we leave that to God, but reaching as far as we can reach into this massive fallen humanity with this message of incredible grace that belongs to every person who turns to it through Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you will today cause your kingdom to advance. You will give us the strength and courage that we now need as a people to stand against the onslaught of wickedness that wants to extinguish the testimony of your life and word. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for courage for your people as others throughout the world have had to have. God, deliver us, Lord, from this life of ease that so many of your people have known and bring us into the true fight for the souls of men. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. God, we yield our bodies today to this purpose. We thank you in Jesus' name. So we're going to stand in a moment. For those who you just know you have to turn from something. And for those who want to turn towards Christ, maybe you don't have a struggle that I'm talking about in your life, but you say, God, I'm stuck in neutral. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going back and I'm not going forward. But today you say, I want to make a difference. I want my life to count. I want my voice to have authority. If that's you, we're going to stand. I'm going to ask you to make your way here. We're going to pray together and believe God to answer our prayer. In the annex, you can make your way here. We'll wait for you in the campus churches. Step between the screens, if you will. We'll be back in just a moment. Every time I look at people at this altar, I see a mighty army of God. I do. I honestly do. So, Father, I pray today, Lord, that you would give every man, every woman, every young person who is at this altar, who are responding in our campus churches or at home, courage, Lord, and compassion. Lord, your word speaks of a perfect love that casts out fear. So, God, give us a love for people that we would not be afraid to speak truth without condemning them, without railing, just loving and speaking the truth. Father, help those that are caught in sin to turn from it. Help us as your people, my God, to be clean. We who bear the treasure of Christ in these earthen vessels, cleanse us, God, of impurity and mixture and things that cause your voice not to be heard or your heart not to be seen. Give us the grace we need to be the people of God. Lord, help us. Help this nation. Give us a moment of mercy, Lord, to turn back to you again. Give us the grace to pray. Heal our homes, our families, our marriages, our children. My God, deliver us, Lord, from those that crept in to our schools, our colleges, and our high schools, Lord, and took captive our children. Deliver us, God, from this moment, as you delivered your people out of Egypt, deliver us, God, from those who are throwing our children into the river of confusion. Forgive us, Lord, as a people, as a nation, for what we allowed in our laziness to come into our borders. Forgive us, Lord God, for abdicating the training of our children and giving it to others, Lord, who took advantage and began to steal them from your kingdom. God, help us now to take our rightful place. Help the fathers here to take their place as the head of their home, as the guide, the spiritual guide of their families. Help the mothers to understand the incredible power that they have. Lord, it is truly said that the hand that rocks the cradle shapes the nation. That's true. That's true. I pray, God, for every woman here. God, I ask today, Lord, that even from this meeting today, people would rise up and find your will and walk into it, Lord, with faith. Whatever it is, wherever you lead us, take us, Lord. We dedicate our lives to you, Lord. We dedicate our futures to you. We thank you for covering our past and our present failure and giving us the promise of new life into the future. Lord, we will not despise you. We will not turn our faces from you or lightly esteem you. Your word is the truth, Lord. It is the only guide we have into eternal life. So God, help us, Lord. Help us to learn your word, to study your word, to know your word, and to cherish your word. Father, thank you for the great fruit that will be born into your kingdom just from the lives that are here at the altar and on their knees in their homes right now. Just thank you for the great fruit that will be born for your kingdom's sake. Lord, we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. The wolf is at the door. But he brought this message forth a while ago. So he's no longer at the door. He's inside. And he's reaping havoc. He is doing some crazy stuff. Yeah. Inside even the house of God. Inside many homes. Yeah. And so we thank God this morning that he's on our side in spite of us. And we stay focused, looking to the hills from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. Welcome to Jesus in the Morning. I'm your host, Evangelist Barbara Pittman of Freedom Doors Ministries, and I come to you live each weekday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today is May the 8th, 2024. We're 5 months and 8 days into this new year. And we are thankful unto Almighty God for another day. Yeah, he woke us up this morning. Clothed in our right minds, we have the use and activities of our limbs, life, health, and strength. And so we'll get grateful, thankful, appreciative. We love him. Hallelujah. Because he takes good care of us. And so again, we're thankful this morning. Today we're going to be talking about the medicines we should take, because as we look out into the world today and as we go to doctors and specialists and even in the hospital, things have really, really changed. And many are afraid, and I cannot blame them, because they're prescribing lots and lots and lots of medications. Yeah, some people on 30 medicines, 20 medicines, 10 medicines. That's too much. That's too much. Had I allowed them to continue to give me medication every time I go there, got a new prescription, they want me to try, I probably would have 30 or 40 medicines. But I decided the medicines I should take, and I decided to make Jesus my choice. I remember that he healed all manner of sickness and disease, and there's nothing too hard for him to do. So right away this morning, the medicines we should take is Jesus. Yeah, the Son of the true and living God. The medicines we should take is prayer. James taught us that if anyone among us are sick, let him call for the elders, and they will pray the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith will make us whole. So this is the medicines we should take. I'm not saying don't take medication, because many times we need it and it helps us. Many diabetic patients, if they wasn't taking insulin, they may not be here. Many, if they don't take the medicine, they couldn't walk, they couldn't talk, they couldn't get up out the bed, many different things. So many times what's prescribed is good, but no medicine really, well, it's good in the sense that it will help us to a certain degree. But when I look at medications, every one of them have a side effect if it's not something natural. I look at all of these clips of different types of natural stuff that people tell us to take. And if we take it in a month, it should do this and it should do that. But it's natural. It's food. And so we have to be careful. We have to be careful. Yeah, going to see the doctor today, it is very scary. Yeah, and doctors prescribe most of them will, the medicines that's prescribed will injure your natural body. In the long run, it'll affect your liver, your kidneys, your heart. Most times when the bottles say, may do this and may do that, commercials say, oh, take Farxiga, and the side effects is that, what? If I'm going to take this for my knee, but later on I'm going to have a heart attack, I'd rather just suffer with the knee pain. Yeah, they have all kind of stuff. social media and internet news say doctors never think about a medical problem. They only master symptoms. Talk about money and the medical industry. Have no love for people. There are those who fall into the trap of taking meds that destroy their lives. I know a young man, and I'm told that he had a bad accident. So he was in pain, and they started him off with his pain medication. And then after so long, they took him off of it. They didn't fix the problem. They only treated the symptoms. They didn't treat the actual pain, where it come from. Why was it still hurting? How could we repair the nerve? They didn't treat that. They gave him what masked it, what just stopped the pain temporarily. And later on, he's got that day, he's got to take more medicine. So when they took the prescription away from him and he could no longer get the medicine, he was in such pain, he decided to try crack. And the crack helped him. So he continued to smoke the crack. And today he's hooked. Before he go to work, he have to have it. While he's working, he have to have it. Once he get off work, he yet got to have more. He was blessed to find somebody to give him a place to stay, feed him, buy him clothes and all of his toiletries, and just give him a few dollars in his pocket that he can buy more crack. Because other than that, he probably would be dead and gone. Because he don't have anywhere to go, there's no telling where he would be sleeping. But it all stemmed from prescription medication. There are others who, today they got these dispensaries for marijuana, legal marijuana, they call it. And they smoke this stuff, take a pill or whatever they're taking, and it masks the problem. Because many were smoking street marijuana, and to keep them going to jail, or, you know, they decide to just get a prescription from the doctor. And they tell the doctor all of these things, and I'm assuming that sometimes there are x-rays to prove there's a joint problem, a nerve problem. So he give them what they call a marijuana card. And this masks what's going on with them. It don't treat what's the actual problem. It masks it. So what are we going to do? Make Jesus our choice. Especially with chronic pain, severe pain. Yeah, because nobody want to hurt. Some people wake up every day with back pain. Yes, every single day. Arthritis pain in their hands and their knees and their neck. Sometimes people had an accident and they didn't think it was that severe. So they didn't go to the doctor right away, but later on, here come the pain. And when they do go to the doctor, he don't treat what's wrong. He masks what's wrong and give them something simply to relieve the pain. But we don't need the symptoms treated. We need the problem treated. Okay, what caused this? Nerve damage. Okay, well, let's see what we can do for nerve damage. I had an accident in 2015. And my back was already injured from a couple of other accidents. And when I go to the doctor, he told me he could shoot me and it'll stop the pain. Well, the first time I got it, it stopped the pain for about maybe 20 minutes. The next time I got it, it maybe stopped it for 5 minutes. So I knew that wasn't a good fit right there. I said, no, this temporarily, too quick. So I don't particularly care for this anymore. And after we take this so long, you'll notice things. Yeah, you'll notice things in your stomach, in your back, your kidneys, because you have to drink a lot of water taking these meds. Yeah, so we have to be careful. So listen, I see Bishop Scott has come in and Evangelist Scott. So I'm going to open the mic to them this morning and say good morning and see what Bishop have for us. Good morning to you, area code 215. God bless you this morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Evangelist.
Amen.
Glad to be with you again.
Yes. So happy to have you here.
We hear your voice yesterday.
Yes. It was a true pleasure to hear you and Evangelist Scott's voice yesterday as well. It has been quite a while. Yes,
we're going to start coming on more often.
Yes.
I miss these morning sessions we used to have together.
Amen.
I miss these morning sessions.
Yes. Some beautiful times. So, Bishop, if you have something you would like to share with us this morning, we're more than willing to take a listen.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. It's really anointing that I chose this morning to come back, because the Lord's been dealing with me about the Holy Spirit. And
okay.
I heard the last part of what you were saying about what we need to do to keep ourselves whole physically. And I think we need to look at how we need to keep ourselves whole spiritually as well. I was thinking about just how important the Holy Spirit is. We know about blaspheming the Holy Spirit and what all that means. And just how important the Holy Spirit is. First of all, let me say this. The Holy Spirit is actually God. He's not God's sidekick. He's not God's Tonto. He's not God's Robin, God's Batman. He is God. And
man,
it's the presence of God in the world today. This is what Christ gave us as he left to ascend into heaven. This is what God, Christ gave us before he actually died on the cross. This is what God, he gave us. Hold on one second.
Amen. Yes, the Spirit of God. That's a beautiful thing. Yeah. Whatever God has told us that his Spirit would do is what it does. Yeah. It is exactly what it does. Yeah. Because we know his word won't return void. And so we're so grateful. Hallelujah. We thank God for the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Ghost. We thank God for it. It reminds us, it keeps us, it'll tell us which way to go, what to do, what not to do, when we allow it to rule and reign in our lives. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad many days I would have made so many big mistakes. Oof. And the Spirit would speak and say, don't go that way. Stop. Don't say that. Don't do that. Stand still. Wait. Yeah. It does all of this for us. And when we hear and obey, this is where the blessing come in. Yeah, we're blessed. I know I am beyond my wildest imagination when I allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide. And I'm not leaning to my own understanding. Yeah. In all our ways, we must acknowledge him and he'll direct our path. We pray before we make a move. I'm going to the grocery store, I'm going to pray. I'm going out to shop, I'm praying. I'm going to attend to something, I'm praying. I'm going to see about somebody, I'm praying. Yeah, we acknowledge him and he'll show you what to do. And the outcome would be perfect. Yeah. Much better than if we had stepped out on our own.
Amen.
Amen. You're back, Bishop. All right. I'm turning it back over to you.
No. Okay. I'm sorry. I have to buzz people in. We live in a gated community. So I have to buzz our aides in. I'm going to have to do it one more time. Hold on.
Yes. Go ahead, Bishop. Then just let me know when you're back. Yeah, I went to see them in Philadelphia, and did a three-night revival there. And Evangelist Scott and her sister Shirley, they took me around, took me over into New Jersey. And we went over to eat at the Golden Corral in New Jersey. And let me tell you something. I thought them Southern women from Georgia was in the kitchen. I was like, greens? I'm going to taste a little bit of these greens and a little piece of this cornbread. I'm going to taste the fried chicken, but I know it's not home. Oh, my goodness. It was wonderful. And then going into New Jersey, we went across this bridge, and it had lights. Oh, it was just beautiful to me. Well, many times when you experiencing something new and it's nice, it's just wonderful that you're able to have the experience. So I had a wonderful experience there. She took me by the high school where Will Smith attended. And, it was just nice. It was just nice. Now, what I had to adjust to was that driving. When I tell you, these people drive. And where I come from, we're more slow. We're slower. More calm. It was less people, but today we have grown. Yeah, the residents of Florida has really grown, and so we have a lot of traffic out there. And when I tell you people drive fast, I'm like, where are they going? If it was all of that, they should have left yesterday to make sure they were there today on time. Yeah. So I thank God for that experience there, and got to go to Jersey, and got to go over to see my cousin, and she had a church and a house, and she took me upstairs, and every room she went in, she was picking up money. Here. I'm like, oh my goodness, this woman here is, she came to the Night of Revival over in Philadelphia, and it was just wonderful, her and her daughter. It was just nice, yeah. So I just thank God. So Bishop, just let me know when you're back. And we'll give the mic back to you. So while we're waiting on him, I want to go to one quick song. And we'll make it short.
With our arms open wide. Spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I love it. Right, amen.
You back, Bishop?
Amen. Amen. Yes, I'm back. I'm back. I'm back. I tell you, that's what I'm talking about. That's
amen.
What I'm talking about. Honoring the Holy Spirit. Sometimes
yeah.
he's lost in the sauce.
Mm.
He needs to be idolized. We lift up everybody, including our preachers, our deacons, and all the rest of that, lifting them all up. But it's good to lift up the Holy Spirit. That's the presence of God in the world today. I love that song. That's going to be one of my theme songs. I looked up the lyrics as it was singing. I looked them up. I was just so inspired. I was singing along with the song, in
yeah.
fact. Never heard it before. But the
yeah.
Holy Spirit is so important. Spirit,
yeah.
Spirit, fall fresh. Fall fresh right now. Fall fresh
Very
today.
Much.
I was thinking about the time about the example of Ananias and his wife Sapphira, and how in the book of Acts chapter 5, verse 6, it reads, he bought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount with his wife's consent, and he kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God.
Man.
As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got from the land? Yes, she said, this is our price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her body, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all that heard about these events. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit is to deny the presence in his power. Before Christ suffered and died in Jerusalem, he made the disciples the following promise. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth it not, neither knoweth him. For you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be yours. St. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. The denying of the attributes of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in the world today, is blasphemous. Though not necessarily unpardonable, it certainly will significantly limit one's power and effectiveness and put in question the legitimacy of one's claim of being a Christian. Here's where the potential for blasphemy may come in. Now, these are the attributes of the Holy Spirit. He is the primary source of remembering and understanding God's word, St. John chapter 14, verse 16. He is our help in mortifying the flesh, Romans 8:13. He commands men, Acts 8:29. He intercedes, Romans 8:26. The Holy Spirit seals true believers to God forever, guaranteeing the promised inheritance of his glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, and Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. The Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. The Holy Spirit, as God has placed in the church the following: some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. It is he that is the source of the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, Galatians 5:22. When you truly consider who the Holy Spirit is, God in the world today, and all the works and gifts that he does and gives, linking us to each other and eternally to the Godhead, that is why I feel it is important, nay, imperative, to include him in our daily prayers and invoke first in every, him first in every worship service that we have, before scripture, before the choir sings, its first selection, or anything else occurs within the worship experience. It is called referencing God in the presence of the blessed Holy Spirit. It would be sufficient when the choir sings, marches, and I was talking about there's a sweet, sweet spirit. Evangelist, but I want to add your the song that you posted and ran and we heard this morning. I would include that song as well as a way to hear and listen to what God has to say to us. And I thank you for that. Spirit, fall down. If we invoke the Holy Spirit will move in ways we can never imagine. It will move and touch and change lives that would never otherwise be changed. So I thank you for the opportunity just to share this with your listening audience this morning, Evangelist.
Amen. Amen, Bishop. Amen. Because we must have him. Without him, we don't know what to do. Without him, we don't know which way to go. And we'll mess up many times. And you'll even hear people, they talk about God. You know, they talk like they know him. They talk like they have his spirit living on the inside of them. But when you look at the actions are different from what their words are saying. Yeah. And so we learn that God hear what we say, but he's looking at what we are doing. And what we must do is seek him for the spirit of God. Seek him for his spirit. It's a gift. It's a gift. And we ask him for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Ghost. I often think back when I see the move of God and how the Spirit does, and many times what the Spirit will speak, because it is going to speak the truth to you. And sometimes you may not like the truth. But I look back at the day of Pentecost, when they were all in one place at one time, and they got on one accord, and the Spirit fell on it come. And afterwards, these men were much different. When they was with Jesus, even, they would get together and ask each other questions. But once the Spirit of God fell on them, they knew for themselves, I can go to God if I have a question. And it don't let your mind think about foolishness. I call it that. How many times how many times is boo in the Bible? You and that's irrelevant to me. What I want to know, how many promises God has given unto me as his daughter? How many promises I have? What does he say about me repenting when I fall short, when I do wrong? What did he say about my wrongdoing? That's what I want to know. What did he say about me having what I want? This is what I'm talking about. What he said about what I could eat? Because I read after Peter was on the housetop, what he made, don't call it unclean. You see?
Yes, he
did. He went on down there, and did what God would have him to do, Bishop. Yeah. And so this is where we have to focus. We have to think. Because, look, we in that hour when he's coming back, and we don't know the day. And we don't know the hour when he's returning. So daily we are preparing for his return. Now, many times we're going to go through the storm and lots of rain. But our trials only come to make us strong. But in this hour, I will be seeking God for his spirit. Yeah, I will be
seeking God to focus. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I will stand still so that I can know that he is God in this hour. Because it's as if the world flipped upside down. They're calling right wrong, wrong right. They will kill you with medication. Look, for things you say, they will murder you in this hour, 2024. So we need God. We need him, his spirit living in us, and we need to focus our spiritual ear to hear what he is saying to us daily, the church. It's not that building. We're the church. We're the walking church of God.
That's right.
And what we need
we've seen him come and go, haven't we, Evangelist? We've seen these buildings come and go.
Yes, they come and go.
1 minute they're a church, the next minute they're a pile of rubble. Three of the churches I've pastored aren't even there anymore. So the church, the building is goes, comes and goes. You build it and it falls. But the church, you and I, we're the church. The people that are listening, we're the church. It's not that building, because we've seen buildings come and go. Churches fall. Churches dissipate. No longer around us anymore. Mm-hmm. But we're still here. And that's what God's going to come for. He's not coming for no building. You think he's coming for all these big buildings? They're going to be left here.
Yes. But see, and this the other thing, Bishop. People think that we're going to remain here. He's bringing down a new heaven and he's bringing down a new earth. All of this will pass away. All of this.
Your old things become new.
Yes. Your brand new car, it's going to pass away. Your house
over here
with the dog named Fluffy is going to pass away.
I remember that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's going to stand is the church. What's going to stand is the word of God. And again, this morning,
only what you do for Christ will last.
Amen.
Only what you do for Christ will last.
Amen.
Only thing.
Yes.
How many cars have we owned in our lives? You know, after about 5 years, we got to get a new one.
Yeah.
You know, we got to get a new one. Start breaking down. Start, you know, the engine don't work like it used to work. The brakes don't work as they used to work. The transmission goes on you, and you got to end up getting a new one. That's how this world is. It's temporal.
Yeah.
It's temporary. It's here today and gone tomorrow. That's what this world is.
Mm-hmm.
But the word and the world that God has prepared for us will last forever. And that's what we got to look at, that world. Not be so tied to this world. If you live to be 100, you're old. Can you imagine 100 in heaven is not even you're not even an infant baby yet.
Oh, yeah.
But it's eternal.
It's eternal.
So you're not even a baby at 100. You're just getting started good.
Hallelujah.
Think about that for a minute.
Amen. Because
just getting started at 100 in heaven. Just getting started.
You had a whole eternity
to go.
Yes. Well, you know what I look at, too? I look back at Methuselah. 900. And what was it, Bishop? 959?
Yes, it was.
69. Oldest man ever lived. Now, if God can do that on the earth for Methuselah, we going to eternity. There will be no end.
And the fair part about it is that man was supposed to live forever.
Yes.
Man was supposed to live eternally in the beginning.
In the beginning.
We messed it up.
Yes, sir.
We messed it up. God meant Adam and Eve to live forever. And everybody who came after them, we were going to live forever.
Never.
But man messed it up. He decided, I'm going to do it my way and the heck with God and push him aside. And because of that, because of the fall of man, people started getting less and less. By Methuselah days, it was 800 and something. By Abraham days, it's 100 and something. By Moses tells us in the Psalm, 70 years. 70 years. Would have been forever. But now you only promised 70. And if you have enough strength, you live a little longer. But it was meant to be forever.
Yes.
The tree of life in the Garden of Eden had no power. Because everybody was going to live forever. If you could eat of the tree of life. The forbidden tree was the knowledge of good and evil. That was the forbidden tree. The tree of life will be on forever.
Man.
But we weren't satisfied with what God gave us. He gave us everything. All the plants, all the trees, all the herbs, everything was ours. But we had our eyes set on the one that was forbidden. Isn't that human nature?
Yes, that's human nature.
God gives you everything, but you still can't keep your eye off of the thing he said, thou shalt not touch. You want to touch that thing.
Come on.
Almost like a child. Don't touch that cookie. And that's the first thing we want to do, touch that cookie.
Yes. And you know what, Bishop?
They got a four-course meal here, but I want to touch that cookie.
Yeah.
You got chicken, you got steak, you got macaroni and cheese. You told me not to cut the cookie, but that's what I want to touch, the cookie. Egg with the macaroni and cheese. Let me get a cookie.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say, Bishop. You got Twinkies, you got cake, you got pies.
There you go.
But because they said don't touch the cookie, that's what we want the most, that cookie. Because
Come
it was
on.
Said not to touch it. But you got
That's
Twinkies,
it.
And they're good. You got cake, you got pies,
mm-hmm.
your favorite thing, but no, I want that cookie. And guess
I want
what?
That cookie. That's the one you told me not to eat. That's what I want.
And, when you, and that cookie is the cookie that destroyed you. But
that's
what you want. That's what you want.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
And because God knows that cookie has an ingredient in it. Maybe it's a raisin that you can't eat raisins. Maybe it's a nut that you can't eat, a pecan. If you can't eat pecans, you're allergic to them. But just because you said, I can't eat it, that's what I want.
That's what I want. Yep. That's human
but what
nature.
About the Twinkie? I don't want no Twinkie.
No.
Well, what about the apple pie? I don't want no apple pie.
No, that cookie.
I want that cookie.
Yes, sir.
And I'll get on a ladder to get the cookie. I'll ask you to get it for me. Whoever can get that cookie, I want you to get it for me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's human nature. That's human nature. It's just that fleshly nature that we have. We have that fleshly nature. We always have that. The forbidden is what we want.
Mm-hmm.
The given is what we ignore. God gives us so much, but we ain't satisfied with what God gives us. Woke us up this morning. I ain't satisfied.
No.
Set us on our way. I'm not satisfied. I still want this. I still want that.
Yes. And that's that human nature. But, you know, I look back at, I believe it was Noah Bishop, and God saw the hearts of men, and he said, I won't always strive with them because man's heart is evil, and he can't have enough evil. He can't do enough evil. So I'm going to have to, in other words, get rid of them. And that's how, you know, he decided to come on up with Noah and have him to build an ark and prepare for the rain. Never rained before. The evil hearts of men, all through the Adam and the next generation and all the way up, refuse to give God his just due. They prefer to
You're right.
It to
I mean, look, Adam and Eve, first children, Cain kills his brother. Right after Eve and Adam did all their thing in the garden, their sons, one son rose up against another son, killed him because God accepted his offering instead of his own. So he killed his brother. And then God said, where is he? Am I my brother's keeper? No, and he killed him. And on and on and on. It's like you say, Nimrod, later on in the story, wanted to build a tower up to heaven. Over and over again, man was just showing the disobedience to God. God said, hey, well, I'm tired of man. I can't strive with man anymore.
Yeah,
I've given you all kind of chances. I've even with Cain, sent him, put a mark on him so nobody would kill him. Sent him into the east of Eden and all that. Wasn't enough for them. Wasn't enough.
No.
They cannot accept God's grace, his love, his goodness. They rather fight against it than accept it. And because of that, God said, this is it. I'm tired. Generations upon generations upon generations. And you keep on doing the same thing. Keep on ignoring me. Keep on disobeying my commands. I'm tired of this.
Yeah.
I'm tired of striving with you. I've been striving with you for centuries. You know it's centuries because what? The Methuselah 800 and something. That's centuries.
Yes.
Not no years. That's centuries. Somebody 800 years old, he lived for centuries. Not for years. He lived 808 centuries.
Yes. And look at this, Bishop. Even today, God yet was blessing us in the way he was blessing the church. We the people, he was doing it to keep us humble. He was doing it to keep us together and to bless us to come on one accord. That wasn't good enough, Bishop. Now we need more prosperity in the house of God.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I need more money. I'm looking at what PJ got. I'm looking at what this one got, the Church of God in Christ got. I want that.
Come on.
I want all these members. I want more tithes and offering. We just weren't satisfied, and then we end up.
We compromise the faith. We bring twerking into the church. We bring club life into the church. You know, everything. People are shaking and quaking in the church. Come on, this is church of God.
Yeah.
And you made it into a house of thieves.
Yeah, that's what he said. And they couldn't remain with God. So they
nope.
traded him for man, because now they show you how to run the church like they run a business. The way
that's
they
it.
Do that
that's
church,
what it is, a business.
Yeah, to make
that's
him
what it is, a business.
Uh-huh. The way they do that.
The bishop
church
asking
business.
For a plane, a jet
yeah.
plane. That's what he's after. He's not after
yeah.
souls. He's after a jet
mm-hmm.
plane. The Lord mm-hmm. came in a dream and told me I needed a jet plane. What?
Mm.
And you got starving people in your community, and you
okay.
worry about some jet plane?
Yeah, in your church building.
Yes.
You got people starving. You got people can't pay their bill. People don't have a job. They're about
come
to
on.
Become homeless.
Come on.
And he talking about a plane, a jet. I'm with you, Bishop, when you're right. Listen, this is what he's talking about. Give to the poor. When you give to the poor, you're lending
that's
unto
it.
Me.
Yeah,
I love a cheerful giver, but that's not what you want to do. What you want to do is you want what you want for you and yours.
That's it, and that's what it's all about.
People, yeah,
there was a survey, a survey that said most churches only give 2 to 5% of their money to outreach programs. 2 to 5%.
Mm-hmm.
That means 98% stay home, and a lot of
okay.
that goes to your preacher. And how he dresses, his car, his mansion, his jet.
Mm-hmm.
98% to 95% of all monies that you collect stay in into the group. You know, you're paying now. You pay the assistant pastor. You pay the choir director. You pay the secretary.
Mm-hmm.
You pay everybody, and the pastor gets a gigantic salary. And still, you got poor right in your city, because half of these
yeah.
people are in cities. They're in
yeah.
Houston. They're in Dallas. They're in Atlanta. Some
mm-hmm.
poor folk are there. And you
mm-hmm.
ignore them. You don't care about that.
Mm-mm.
You got mansions with 9 rooms and your children are grown. You and your wife mm-hmm. with 9 rooms.
And what you
and you got
with
people
nine?
In your own church that are homeless or being evicted.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't dare think about opening up your house to them.
No.
They're paying their last dime to you, but you wouldn't
mm-hmm.
dare think about opening up your home to them, even if it's temporary.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even think that way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, they'll be okay. Pray. God will take care of you.
Well, are you praying
God will take
or are
you,
jacking the, are you praying or are you jacking the money out of people's pockets? Because you know
thank
what
you.
I found out, Bishop? Because God will
what's
show
that?
Us things if we seek him. Many of
yes,
those people there, many of those people, do you know, Bishop, they don't really believe in God?
Come on. They don't?
They don't believe in God.
I believe it.
Many of them
believe
don't
it.
Believe in Jesus. Listen, they don't believe
nope.
in Jesus, Bishop. They build their own empire off the back of others. They use the name of
yep.
Jesus, the name of God.
Come on, that's,
the word
come on
love.
That's it. That's what they do. They know
mm-hmm.
that's a draw. They know
yes.
that's a draw to say Jesus, and everybody comes to running.
Mm-hmm.
They know that's a draw. It's a gimmick.
Yeah, but,
it's a gimmick.
Yeah, and then they begin to teach the people a while back about prosperity. If you don't have this and you don't have that, you're not of God. People started
yep.
running out
you're
and
right.
getting second jobs, and they wanted bigger houses and all of this stuff, all what these people said. But this is why we have to seek God for ourselves. I don't care how good of a preacher they are, how they make you feel, you got to
mm-hmm.
seek God for yourself. And people
yes,
give more to man than they do to God, because they're looking at the pastor. And that way, when the true preacher come along, they ignore the true preacher, because they've been preached a watered-down, feel-good message, and they've been taught prosperity.
That's
but
it.
This is the thing.
You're right.
It's appointed unto man once to die. And after death,
and then
come the judgment. Yes, sir.
And then come the judgment. And they're going to be judged, let me tell you. They may be getting up. What did Christ say? They have their reward.
Yes.
They have their reward.
Yes.
There's no reward up in heaven. They got their reward right here. So you better
mm-hmm.
enjoy it while you can for these
mm-hmm.
30, 40, 50 years. You better enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But you ain't taking it with you. And it's not going to count in heaven if you took it with you. He's not
yes.
going to judge you by that.
Mm-hmm.
So you better enjoy it while you can, because time is running out. Let me tell you, we're in the last days.
Yes,
and
sir.
It's evident. It's just every day you see it. Just the church is backsliding, the world
yes.
is backsliding. Nobody, everybody wants to. Everybody, and that's another thing I always have a problem with. Why is Christ always the one everyone wants to attack? Christianity is something that everybody wants to down and criticize and all of that, because Christ is the truth.
Yes. the way.
Satan knows Christ's truth. That's why he's attacked like he is.
Yes.
Ain't nobody attacked, made fun of, joked
Mm-mm.
about,
Mm-mm.
belittled, ignored,
Mm-mm.
criticized
Mm-mm.
more than Christ is.
Amen.
Because they know that that's the truth. Nobody talks about Muhammad. Nobody
Mm-mm.
talks about Buddha. Nobody talks about all the other religious leaders. But when it comes to Christ, oh, my
Mm-hmm.
Lord, he's this, he's that, and his people
yeah.
are this. And his,
you know
reason why.
Because
Satan knows he's the real deal. Christ
yeah.
is the real deal.
Amen.
All this other crap
see,
is sinking sand. All
yes.
of it sinking sand.
Another thing, Bishop, is this. They don't want you using the name of Jesus. His power
no,
in that
no, 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 no,
and the devil knows
you
it.
You can't even sing Christmas carols unless it's Rudolph
Mm-hmm.
the Red-Nosed Reindeer
How?
In school.
Yes,
Santa
sir.
Claus is coming to town. They'll let you sing that.
Yes.
Chestnut roasted on an open fire. They'll let you sing
uh-huh.
that. But don't you dare
uh-huh.
sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem,"
okay.
away in a manger,
Nobody.
Silent night.
Mm-hmm.
You better not sing those things. Oh no, no, no. Mm-hmm. That's forbidden. That's
yes.
though it's Christmas, you can't sing anything about Christ.
Mm-mm.
It's called Christmas, but you can't even mention his name. That don't make
yeah.
that don't make any kind of sense at all.
But they even want to change the word Christmas, and they want you to say Happy Holiday.
Yep, see, weed him out altogether. It's,
yeah, because
made him all together.
Yeah, they talk that Christmas says Christ must come, but they told me that no, that ain't what you do. Is Happy Holidays because you don't want to offend nobody.
See?
I don't want to offend you on purpose. But I want to offend you if it'll keep you out of hell. Hell is real. It's
Come
hot.
On, there you go.
It enlarges.
And that's our job. That's what God
yeah.
called us to. To call
yeah.
men to repentance. That's
call
what he said. Go into all the world. That was
mm-hmm.
Christ's last words to man before
that's
he ascended into heaven.
Commission.
Go into all
yes,
the
sir.
World. Every place. You're going to be criticized. Don't worry about being criticized. You're going to be killed. All the apostles were killed except for John.
Mm-hmm.
That's his life. No one wants to hear this.
Mm-mm.
That you got to live right. You got to change your life. You got to give holy
oh, no.
and righteous.
Oh,
no. You don't hear those words in churches anymore. Holiness
Mm-mm.
and righteousness. You don't hear
yeah.
those
no.
you hear prosperity and feel good messages. That's like you said,
mm-hmm.
feel good
mm-hmm.
messages. So
mm-hmm.
I can go home feeling like I'm somebody.
Mm-hmm. And know what? I
ain't changed the ain't changed a wink.
A wink.
My pastor, I'm okay.
Yeah, I noticed this on Facebook, Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can cuss, hell raise, fornicate, do adultery, live
mm-hmm.
any kind of way they want. But they got this thing out there, today I'm going to be blessed, lift up, this, that. Listen, you living an illusion. You're living a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh. He said you belong to him if you obey him. All
That's
things will work together for your good if you love him and you're called according to his purpose. If you obey
That's what the word
him.
Says. That's the word.
Yeah. You're not finna
That's
get all
word.
This stuff and you live in a hellish or any kind of old life. You're not sacrificed. Jesus, he came back across alone. He said, trials my way for me to go through trials. I'm going to be lied on. I'm going to be talked about. I'm going to be misunderstood.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm going to be mistreated.
Right.
And like you said, Bishop, I may end up dying. But all of that is not for me. It's not
may
for me.
Who's to say?
It's for
we're
him.
We're moving in a society, evangelist, where we're almost at that point, right here in the United States. We're almost
well,
there.
We there.
They hate us so much. They hate Christians so much. We're almost there. Maybe another, maybe a couple of decades, we may not be alive. But if we keep on going in the direction we are, we're going to be a nation like the communist nation that we talk about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't want to talk about God. Can't talk about God. It's illegal to talk about. We're almost there.
But you know
what,
Bishop? I don't understand how the leadership don't see. You took him out to school. Look what started happening. Shootings in the school.
Look at that. Yep.
You
yep.
took him off the job. Look what they do. They go in the post office and blow as many down as they You can't take
Look,
God
see?
Out and think that it's going to
yep.
stay.
Yep. But they
now,
can't see that. They can't
pray.
See the correlation.
Yeah. People will begin to pray and God will have mercy. But let me tell you something. You got to give God his place. He won't be mocked. He will not
right.
be mocked.
Nope.
And
really, evangelists, the only reason why we're
sold.
Here, this nation, only reason why this nation is still standing is because of people like you,
yes,
the faithful
right.
and true.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The faithful and true. That's the only reason why this thing is still standing. Once, mm-hmm. once we're gone or whatever, this world's going to go to hell, including this nation. We're the thing mm-hmm. that keeps this nation alive. People don't even realize yes. that. We're the ones mm-hmm. who keep this nation going. That God yes. continues to bless this nation because yes. of the faithful and true that's still here.
Yes. We're that candle, Bishop, that sit on the hill that can't be healed. We're the salt of the
come
earth.
On,
we're
come on.
Give the earth its savor, its flavor. We are the ones. Mm-hmm. We
My
still
God.
Preaching
My
heaven
God.
Or hell. We still preaching the truth. And look, I'm going to tell you, when you do these type things, you're not going to be well known. You're not going to have a whole lot of followings and all this stuff. It's going to be a very few.
That's
it's
right.
Be,
you're right.
Look, you treat that very few, Bishop, as if you got millions of people.
Wow. I love it. I love it.
Because it's not unto you.
Could you just get them five in the heaven? You've done a lot.
Okay.
You've done great.
All right. It's not unto you.
It may not be 105. Maybe it be 1,000. Same won't be 1,005. You get them
okay.
five in there.
Thank
God,
you.
God will be pleased with it.
Yes. Bishop, if you just continue to stay focused in Jesus, stand still knowing that
yes.
he's God, continue to look to the hills from where your help come from. Trust him with
thank
all
you,
your heart
you.
And lean not to your own understanding. Delight yourself in him. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Keep your mind on him. He's going to keep you in perfect peace. Let me tell you where you're going, Bishop. You're going somewhere and it's not in the earth because we're in the earth, but we're not of the earth. You're going somewhere. See, you, when you stand before him, you'll hear him say, well done, that good and faithful servant, because you did things others wouldn't do. You said things others was afraid to say, or they didn't want to say because they was afraid of what people was going to think of them. I tell people all the time, say what you got to say about me. Think what you want to think about me, but know this, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm going back with
hey,
him. I'm coming back with him
I
to judge
it.
The world. Yeah, that's
God
how
God bless you. God
go.
Bless you, Evangelist.
Yes.
God,
God
bless,
bless
you.
You
I tell you. God bless you.
And, because I tell you, in this hour, we got to stop playing and get serious. I'm telling you. Because not only that, Bishop, but there will come a day when you cannot say Jesus nowhere in America. Because somebody else would take over this country. Because this is what happened. When he said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, hey, glory, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive the sins and heal the land. They won't do that, Bishop. They're not going to humble themselves and pray. They're not going to seek God. So when you're not in God and God is not in you, and he's not leading you. You blind, Bishop. You blind as a bat. And you can't see your way. So you will accept the mark of the beast. You will accept the lie that they're telling. You will accept the bribes. You will accept prosperity. You won't believe in Jesus. You won't believe that he's the son of the true and living God. So what's going to happen? You are going to fall.
Yep, every time.
He blessed his country.
Every time. Every time.
He blessed this country, and the blessings of God, they turned it around. They didn't want it. Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, people back during those days, even those presidents, they had a similar, somewhat, fear for God.
They don't have fear for God.
They think it's their intellect. They think it's their wisdom. But without
God, we are indelible creator. He talked about the creator in the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the preamble.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about in God we trust. We carry money around that says in the back of it, in God we trust. Well, we don't trust God.
No.
It's so
and they want to remove
it's
that.
Yeah.
They want to
we
remove.
Don't trust God. He's not even part of our
they
equation.
They want to remove that.
Yeah, they still do. They still
yeah,
do.
They want to remove that off the dollar bill, Bishop. In God we trust.
And they already took it off of the United States Supreme Court. Used to have it posted the Ten Commandments in the building. They took that down. That's been down.
Oh, yeah.
That's been down.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
been down. They don't want that. They don't want that.
Because, see, the enemy, he got a plan and he tricks the people. See, yep. People out there thinking they're doing something, and it's your thing, do what you want to do. It is fun in the world. That's why so many stayed out there so long, including
that,
me.
That's why, yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, it's fun out there. So the devil, he bring more stuff to make it more fun for him. Yeah.
We're coming to a generation that don't even know about prayer in school.
No.
See, that's what they want. They want the younger ones who can't remember all of this stuff. They don't know nothing about this.
Because
they're going to be raised without
people.
Prayer ever in the school. The kids have not prayed since, what, the 1960s? That's, what, three or four generations?
Mm-hmm. See,
we were kids, we had prayer and Bible study, and Bible reading. We read from the Psalms or the Proverbs. And then we prayed. Then we had the pledge of allegiance.
Yeah, if they get the youth bishop and the youth don't know nothing about God, it can continue
exactly.
on.
And see, that's what they want. They want to raise a generation that don't know nothing about God. That's what they want.
And
they don't want nobody.
You know
that's why they don't want to talk about God.
Because somewhere
they don't want God
in
nothing.
There, see, in there is they daddy the devil. And whoever brought all of this about, they were serving their daddy the devil. And so they continued on. And how in the world that American leadership let prayer go out? How in the world they let human decency and human morals go out the window, I'll never know. How do you teach
children? Oh, now abortion's okay. You can abort babies now. That's government protected.
Yep.
You can abort a child. Everything around here is just so upside down, topsy-turvy.
Yes. Yes.
You can teach children about transsexuality and all of this type. It's just so weird. This is a world I never knew. At all.
Me too.
Growing up, I didn't know nothing about none of this stuff.
None of that.
And now it's commonplace now. It's just, you know, and if you talk against it, then you're called a homophobic. You're called a pro-lifer as if it's a bad thing to be a pro-lifer. I am pro-life.
Yeah. Me too.
I'm pro-life from the womb to the tomb.
Okay.
I'm pro-life. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I got a shirt on right now that says I am pro-life.
Mm-hmm. Because
that's what I am.
This is what they do, Bishop. They do what they want to do, and before they take accountability for it and do what's right because of what you did wrong and make it right, you rather kill. You rather murder.
Well, the Bible tells us that
murder an unborn child.
Evangelist, the Bible tells us the evil's going to be looked at as good and good's going to be looked at as evil. The Bible warns about that.
Yeah.
The Bible warns about that, this topsy-turvy kind of world.
Yes, you chose to lay down, not married, fornicate, mess around, and here come the baby, because you're doing what it takes to bring forth another life. When you find out you got the other life, you'd rather murder the other life than to stand up and say, I did it, and I got to take care of it. I got to carry this baby 9 months. And once the baby's born, I got to take care of it. Because the man you laid with, he didn't want no baby. He just wanted to lay and play with you. Unresponsible. Irresponsible.
Right.
Yeah.
And you allowed it. And you allowed it because you laid with him. You could have said no.
Back in my day, you taught them daughters. Men taught their sons, but you taught your daughters. Because if the baby come up, your daughter is stuck with the child. The man going on about his business if he wants to, unless he was a good man.
Exactly.
He
going about his life and praying somebody else.
Impregnate
somebody else.
Yeah. And even today when I see that, the children in the home, two or three different daddies.
Isn't that sad?
It's hurtful. Because the mama
and none of them involved in the children's lives.
Yeah.
And nobody's involved in their lives. Not a man involved in their life.
Nope.
Not the daddy ain't even involved.
Wouldn't just say no and stand up and knew how precious she was to herself. She didn't know. She didn't care.
Yes.
And then a lot of times she tricked because she thinks she getting something that she'll never have. He's never going to come back again. He's never going to marry you.
That's what they do. They promise you, I love you, baby. You know, I love you. I'm here for you. And they know daggone well, they don't know nothing about no love. It ain't about love. It's about lust. It's about lust. Not love. It's another word. It's another L word, but it's not love.
You teach your daughters. But the day they push the daughters out there. Oh,
yeah.
In the church, bishop, in the church talking about, well, when I was 16, I was interested in boys. And that's okay. It's okay that my daughter interested in boys because that's what I want her to be, interested in boys.
Right, exactly.
But
nothing wrong with that, yeah.
I want her to know the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. I want her
right.
to know she can do all things through Christ who strengthened her, which means keep yourself until the husband come along, the man that say, will you marry me? And he comes and he asks me, if you don't have a dad in the home, he's man enough to come and ask me for your hand in marriage because he don't want to disrespect you in no kind of way. He read up
that's
on
a man.
Things.
That's a real man.
Yeah. See,
that's a real man right there.
In 2024, he read up on some things concerning marriages. He went back and looked back at people that's been married 60 years. How did they stay? How did they start? Well, he went and asked the daddy for her hand in marriage. He sat down and he talked to the daddy and let the daddy know, listen, I don't just want your daughter for a good time. I want her for my wife. I want her until the day I die. See, because he went back the boy came and the young man came and asked the mama about the daughter. This is what she said, Bishop. What you asking me for? You're not asking me to marry her. You want to marry her? Go ask her. She didn't even know that the man had respect. Oh, my God.
Yeah, isn't that awful?
Oh, my God.
He came to her first because he wanted to talk to the mother first to get his her honor.
Yes. Yes, he wanted to show.
Her approval. I want to get your approval first, mother, before I ask her. I want to know if you approve of it. That's respect.
Thank you.
That's respect. Going to the mother.
Y'all, excuse me. She didn't know, Bishop, you heard what she said. What you asked
me for. Yeah, go ahead. That's what I'm saying. This world is going crazy. I tell you, it really has. You don't respect yourself. Because if you respected yourself, you would appreciate what he was trying to do. I'm trying to get you to understand that I want your daughter's hand in marriage. I respect you. I want your approval before I ask her. That's the way it used to be. It's the court, and they would ask the parent. Father, if the father's in the home, if the father's not, then the mother. I would like to have your daughter's hand in marriage. I'm coming to you for your approval. I'm coming for you so you can honor it. Do you find any problems with me? Any question you have for me, I will answer it because I respect you. And I want your approval for this marriage before I go through with it, before I even ask her. Because if you don't approve of it, then I will have to pause and ask her because her mother doesn't approve of it.
But you know what?
That's honoring.
Yes, that's honor. Great honor.
Yes.
But you know what, too, Bishop? I hold the church responsible for a lot of things. Let me tell you, when we get ready to have different things, it should be at the church. It should be under the anointing of Almighty God so that we're covered
from all sides
from evil. But I tell you, like for me, a birthday party, I don't have a party, but I have a birthday service in celebration of another year God
has
blessed me. At the church, I'm covered. Hey, glory, hallelujah. My anniversary. I'm going to have my anniversary with my church family because I'm closer to them than I am to my biological family because, see, now we join heirs in Jesus Christ. I'm related, blood related, to my brother.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm having my
anniversary. That's right.
Yeah.
We're blood related. That's right.
Yes, and I'm having it at the church. Anything I want to do, I want to do it at the church. But, Bishop, they charging folks to use the building.
That's what I'm saying. That's the sad part about it.
The musicians, you got to pay a musician to use the gift for God that God gave him. That Bishop, that don't set well with my spirit.
No, it doesn't.
They're gonna find
Not me
out.
Either. So when I was coming along, when we were coming along, you would give the person a little stipend when you could, the musician, you give him a little stipend. It was never no salary, and certainly nothing that you would say break nobody's back. Maybe $25, maybe $50. Now, you better not put no $25 note on the musician's face.
What? They won't
they'll
come back
at you like, you don't know what. You got to sign a contract and everything.
Yep, now you do.
A contract?
Anything now. Because, see, that's not God. That's man.
Yep.
That is man.
Oh, the secretary of the church now get something. You pay
yeah.
the, you pay all the ministers, not just the pastor. You give them all a little something. We didn't do all that stuff. I was a assistant pastor for 20 years, and I didn't get nothing. Except when I preached, they give me a little offering and a plate. I didn't get nothing for being the assistant minister. I didn't get nothing for that role. If I got something, somebody asked me to preach. That's when I got something.
Right.
I didn't
well,
get nothing just to, you know, I didn't get nothing to serve the pastor.
No.
I visited the sick. I was the one who visited the sick. I'm the one who gave him communion. I'm the one who did this. I did that. Running around, getting this together, counting the money. You know? I didn't get no pay for none of that stuff.
And it
I didn't
want to
get paid.
Money.
I didn't think about getting paid.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing for God and his people.
Yes. Bishop, I have gone places. God was sending me. And it was a test. I borrowed the money to go.
Okay.
Went on. Crowded. Very crowded. In New Jersey, matter of fact, one time. And when I got ready to leave there, the pastor that invited me said, look, we only raised $600, and I need two of the six. I said, okay.
Okay.
Said, I know she had to pay the musician and a couple other things, you know.
Right.
So, Bishop, before I left home, I asked for $3,000. I said, Lord, would you give me $3,000 before I left home?
Mm. Right.
I went on, Bishop, and did what God would have me to do. Oh, he used me in that service at night. Three nights. So, Bishop, listen. I come on up out of there. I did Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. By Thursday, I was flying back home. Now, I asked for $3,000, right? Bishop, when I got home, I had a check in the mail for $2,600. Now, 26 and 4 is $3,000 all over everywhere
that's
I ever
it.
Known.
That's right. There's your $3,000 right there.
Look what happened, Bishop. The man that
what?
I borrowed the $600 from to go, he said, don't worry about that $600. You ain't got to pay that back. Keep that.
Oh, my God. So the whole thing ended up being yours.
What? $3,000.
See how God works? See how God works? Because you didn't say, no, I can't. I'm not going to do it without before you give me this and that. See, God, that's what you said a minute ago. We don't trust in God no more because we don't believe in God, really.
No.
These people don't believe in God. They believe in getting the money like the old fact, like businesses do.
Yep. That's
they
what they do.
No trusting
but
in
let
God.
Me tell you, the sad part, and I pray for him, Bishop, I pray that God would give them a change of heart and mind. Because the sad part is going to be when you get there and you hear him say, depart from me, I don't know you.
That's going to be the day.
You've been there every
that's
time.
That's
going to
be the day.
Yeah, you've been there playing from Jesus, from soon and very soon we're going to see the king all the way up to the latest gospel song today. You've been there playing all of that, but you got paid for it. And that pay
that's
that you
right.
got, that's your reward. That's your all throughout eternity, that's your reward. Preachers,
that's what Christ
you
said,
got
isn't
that
it?
Money.
That's what Christ said. They got their reward.
You got paid. Pastors, you got paid faithfully. And it wasn't no $200 or $300. You got your reward. And guess what? That's all you going to get throughout eternity is what you got. Because I don't know you. Depart from me. I don't. Bye-bye. Yeah.
That's what you're going to say.
That's
and they're going to say, well, didn't we do this? And
didn't
we do that? Remember the Bible said, and didn't we do this? We're going to say all the things we did do. He said, you didn't do it under me.
Okay.
What do you mean we didn't do it? Because you didn't do it. You didn't do it from your heart. You did it, just like you said, for money.
For
filthy lucre.
Yeah.
Prestige.
Yes.
That's what you did it for. So you can be renowned. Everybody know, you know, here's Reverend so-and-so. Kiss your feet and kiss your rings and all that. That's what you did this for.
Yeah.
You didn't do this for no...
Bishop, I saw the apostles. I don't quite remember it right off. Could have been Peter and John. They was trying to bow down to them because Peter had healed this man. He couldn't walk. And he walked
in. I remember the story. Yeah, I remember that story.
Remember that? And he was trying to bow down. He said, oh, no, no, get up, get up, get up. No, no, sir, no, sir. You can't bow to me. We got to bow to God. We got to bow to God through his son, even. Yeah, no, don't do it to me. And that's why I stopped people. When I started off, I stopped them because God showed me. Don't ever take my glory. Because it's so easy, Bishop. It's easy. Thank you. Oh, you really preach.
Right. You're right.
Oh, you was
you're
preaching
right. Oh, that was a great sermon. Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, you that was a
and
great thing you did.
And then
you take the bow. You take the bow.
You take the bow. Okay. They're calling you on the phone. Oh, Evangelist. Oh, you was ringing my number. Oh, you went up in it. Evangelist, I know. It's easy to he let me know, don't you ever take my glory. It will never be you. It will never be you, blessed the people. It will always be me. And don't you take my glory. So when people come with all that, thank you. Oh, I said, oh, hold up. We thank God. Bishop, we thank God. No, we're not going to thank
that's
you.
Right.
I
tell people, don't give me no credit. That's whatever good I do is God in me. That's not me. That's God in me.
Yes, sir.
I'm not taking no credit for that.
Thank you. I'm just a vessel he used. Yeah, that's what that is. Oh, no, don't come bowing down no kind of way. I can't have it. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I was here. Oh, I felt. Yeah, and we thank God. Let's stretch out in him. Because you cannot stretch out in me.
Oh, you always have done that. You've never taken no credit for nothing you do. And all the stuff that you do. And all the people you've touched. And I know. Because I've known you for many years mm-hmm. now. And the people that I know that you've touched our lives many a time. I mean, all kind of different ways.
Yeah.
All kind of different. We came up here, and you know, we didn't have nothing to give you. A little bit of church we had, we didn't have nobody, nothing to give you. Come up mm-hmm. here just like we were millionaires and came up here and gave you a full service.
Yeah.
I know, well, this is only a few people, and they ain't going to pay me a whole lot. Let me give them a little bit of something, give them a shout mm-hmm. or two, and then I'm out of here. That's not you.
No,
that's not you. If mm-hmm. I give it the same kind of service, I give it to 1,000 people here.
Yes,
I ain't gonna
yes.
do it because there's only 5 or 10 people.
Thank
well, that's
you.
Not you. I mean, you go one on one if you need to.
Yes, one on one.
That's you. You go one on one.
I was
much for that
Missouri.
One. I was about 101.
Yeah,
that don't mean nothing to me. To you?
Okay, I was in Missouri, Bishop, and mm-hmm. the pastor. Invited me up there. I went to see Joyce Myers to talk to her, but she was afraid to talk because she said somebody had threatened her life. But anyway, he knew this elderly couple, and the wife was really sick, Bishop. And he took me over there to the elderly couple house. He said, I'm going to take you over here. He said, because this man is my friend and my brother in Christ, and his wife's sick, and I know if you come over here, this woman going to get up out the bed. I thought to myself, well, how you know all of this? I know you done heard some things, but you ain't never saw nothing. You ain't got no real proof of what God used me to really do. That man took me over there. And Bishop, I began to just talk about, hey, glory. Ah, thank you, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. I just began to talk about the goodness of the Lord in the house. The housekeeper was there, the what they call the nurses care people was there. I began to talk about the goodness of the Lord in the house. And even the nurse, she was just happy to be in the presence of the talk of God. And I began to talk to the man about the scriptures and what God said. And when I knowed anything, Bishop, the woman had got up. This woman was on her sick bed. That woman got up out of that bed and walked to the door. And turned and looked. We all just turned and looked. Nobody touched her. Nobody put no oil on her, Bishop. We talked of his wondrous works. I was making known his deeds in the house. He raised this woman up. Boy, that husband rushed over there to her to help her. She said, I'm good. I don't need your help. I can walk.
My God.
No matter order down.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what talking about.
Yes, sir,
the power of God.
Power of God. No money, no thought of, well, I do this, you know, they're going to give me a love. Who thinks like that? This woman needed
these
help.
These people
the
now.
Man needed help. God is
you can't even get a, you can't even get these popular preachers for under $5,000. You can't get them. Like, I would like you to come. I can help big or small your church is. You got a tiny church. Well, I just want to give you maybe 500. Man, they look at you like you're crazy.
Okay. But do you know what I learned, Bishop? I go with what they call the underdog. I go with people who are not popular. I go with them that people don't know. Because those people there are striving for perfection in Jesus. Those people there are the ones that's fasting and praying and seeking God that his will would be done in their lives. This is who I like.
Those are the people. That's right. They're the people. They're the people.
Right. And I have told them, the news. No, I don't want to talk to the news people, not about Jesus' business. Because they're not going to put it on the news.
Mm-mm.
Well, I got to say, it's a waste of their time because they're not going to put it on the news.
No, they're not going to put it on the news.
I don't want my name out there like that, but I do want my name at small places, you know, over there at Pastor Jones.
Yeah.
You don't have a 20 members.
But it has to be out there a little bit because people need you, and so they need to know that there are people. I need to know people out there like you, and people need to know that people like you. That are out there just not for their own aggrandizement, not for their own success and their monetary gain and all that. They're out there doing the work of God as God would have them do it.
Yeah.
And I think people need to know everybody about the money. And particularly nowadays, with the churches as they are, we need to know about people like you. We really do.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones with the big name. T.G. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, you know, on and on and on. I can name them all, you know. Over and over again, you can hear their name. Kenneth Copeland. You know, all those big-name folk, you hear their name all the time, but you don't hear the people that are really doing what God wants to do. Jamal Bryan, you hear those names. You know, names like what that Willie Murphy and William Murphy and that, you can go on and on and on. But you don't hear the names of the people that really are doing the work of God. You're hearing about the people that are using God to get their own thing going.
Yes.
But you don't hear about the people that really have sold themselves to God. You don't hear about them anymore and anybody about their story. We need to hear about them, and I think the church needs to hear it even more than anybody else, that everybody's not about the dollar. Everybody's not looking for a jet plane. Everybody's not looking for a mansion. Everybody's not looking for, you know, a big this and a big that, a big cathedral-sized church. Everybody's not looking for that.
The things big that I was looking for is what would bless people. What would bless people, a place to live, food to eat, and those things, you know, would bless people. You got your own shopping, and, you know, we hire each other there. The people are hired who live in that community. But you see, this is the thing. I remember them Beatitudes. That's what I often remember. And whatever I do, it can't be unto me. It's got to be unto him. If I die for his sake, then I'm gonna rise up again.
That's what it says in the word.
If something, I'm going to see about the sick, and I'm not going to see about the sick, to put it on the news, to put it on the internet, so they can come and interview me. Now, I went behind everybody back to see about the sick, because I'm going to see about the sick.
That's who you are.
Yeah, to see what he gives me for the sick. Because if he don't heal me when I pray and ask him, there's a reason for that, Bishop. And he's sending me to go see about them because he's holding them right where they are, and there's a reason for it. I go to see about children somewhere. That's him. That's not me. My children grown. My grandchildren grown. I'm not even trying to be too busy with my great-great-grandchildren. I ain't got time for all of that right now. But he sent me somewhere to see about somebody's children. He sent me to be in connection with women who made a big mistake and lost their children to the state that they live in. And many times these women almost lose their mind because the enemy come and tell them things. And this is not for the world, but it's for those women. It's not for the world to know all of these people business like that. It's between them and God. They've been praying for support. They've been praying for strength. So God will send them and use my mouth so that they can gain strength. Ah, yes, Shaka. Hey,
amen.
In him, not in the person that he's using, because Bishop, without him, I can do nothing. I can't do a thing without him. I don't even wake myself up in the morning. Bishop, I can't hold my head up without him. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be able to have my being. I wouldn't be living. So I can't think I'm something.
Right.
I can't take nothing from God. And I can't do this over here and want prestige and want money for it. Oh, boy, I like to go to them small churches, and when God get to moving, there ain't no $100 line, Bishop. Ain't no $1,000 line. These people don't have that kind of money. The little bit they put in the offering, they struggle to do that. They need to pay their bills. And then God speak a miracle in the midst of the building. My goodness. Bishop, that's worth more than any money anybody could ever give Bible. He spoke that miracle in the building. That means everybody end up in to be blessed, Bishop. And the church building itself and the pastor and his family, if he got one deacon, whatever he, everybody in there is about to be blessed.
Wow.
That's what I like.
Yeah,
that paid me more
that's right.
than any $50,000, $30,000. No, don't offer me that because I'm not coming. I know I'm not coming. Because if you offer me that kind of money, the devil over there. The devil is in charge. But if you say, Benjamin,
I love that. That's so true. You don't think of that, but that's true. When you get kind of money scale, there's something, you're right. There's something not quite right about it.
Don't offer me that. I can't come. But listen, you say, Evangelist, can you come three nights next week? You can choose the three nights you want to come. And we don't really have a whole lot of money, but Evangelist, we may be able to pay half of the flight here. And we're praying that God will, you know, bless us to do the rest of however he moves. Now, you talk to me like that. Let me pray and call you back. Because when I call you back, that half you was given, God done already gave the other half. And the hotel where you wanted me to stay, but y'all couldn't afford it, I done already got the money to pay for it. Because he said, when he sent the bishop, he been sure enough show out.
And he does every time.
What he been to show out in? And see, it's not
I can witness that, evangelist, but I've been in Indian services. And I can witness that firsthand. There ain't nobody told me nothing. I witnessed that firsthand. And how them women and how them men, too. I mean, we all just were broken. Like you just talk to our hearts and you talk to our spirits, broken. Some people actually were converted and became Christians on what you talked about. I know one girl in particular. She actually accepted Christ in her life, and she's now one of Teresa's best friends. In fact, she's one probably with a party. She actually was persuaded and converted with what you talked about, with your sermon. And now she is now here. She is now. She's very much involved in the church, which it goes.
Amen.
Very much involved. But it all happened that night that you had that revival up there in Philly, up here in Philly. I remember it well. And you touched her life, changed her life. But she's been in church all her life. That's the thing about it. She's been in church with her mother and all that all her life. But when you got that sermon out, when you preached that message, it changed her life forever. I'll say that. She no longer just in there because mama goes.
Yeah.
In fact, her mother doesn't go to church anymore. Her mother's down in South Carolina. So, you know, she got Christ for herself. And that's what you need to do. It's fine with your mother. Your mother may have, your father may have. But until you have, it don't mean nothing.
God bless the child that have Jesus for his own.
That's right. Come on.
Yeah. Listen, Bishop, I remember a tall lady being there. She had on, looked like to me, she had on stilettos. She was so tall.
That's what I'm talking about.
God told her about her healing. That woman jumped so high, I couldn't believe that.
That's what I'm talking about, Lisa.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what she see how God was related? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's Lisa.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. God
and
is
now
thank
she just
you,
is, she's healthy, she's happy, she's, you know, doing well. She's really doing well. I saw her this past Saturday, you know, this Monday at the party. She's the one who coordinated in terms of decorations and stuff, you know.
Okay.
Doing fine. Children grown now. She's got grandchildren, everything. Doing fine. She's doing fine.
Wonderful.
Moving
I
on.
I hear you with your birthday party, Teresa Scott. Bishop hook you up, Teresa Scott. All right,
bitch. Did you say that?
Yeah, I fooled with a bishop.
I know you did. You always did. You always used to mess with
that. And well, the only one. Yes, good to hear from y'all, Bishop. I remember.
I'm gonna be tuning in more often too, because I love this. I just love hearing you talk.
Yes,
you're so refreshing, and you're honest with it. It's not no putting on, no nothing. It's always the Holy Spirit leads you to say what you have to say, and you're willing to be a vessel for God and for the Holy Spirit. And that's why I always tune in. That song, I'm gonna keep that song in my heart. That fall down. I love that.
That's by Luther Barnes.
Okay. I'm gonna look him up too. I'm gonna look that up. That's good.
All right, Teresa Scott.
Okay, my dear.
Wait a minute, hold on, Bishop. Teresa Scott, this is going out to you and Bishop this morning. I'm not going to play it all the way through, but I'm going to play a little bit up for it.
Okay. Something.
I just
want to
praise you.
About a week now, Teresa in particular. That's been our theme, and you played it tonight, so this is today. So I just want to thank you, my dear friend. And we'll be back. All right.
God bless you. Have a blessed day.
God bless you.
You do the same. Bishop Gerald Scott. Out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hallelujah. If you listen to his voice, you can kind of hear you. He's that kind of bishop. You know, I mean, he's down to earth, but he's, you know, got a lot of intellect, you know, that he can help people. He can break that thing down to the lowest term for you. Yeah, I know you can hear that. You can hear that. Anointed man of God. Yeah, true, true, true. Yeah, and that's what we like. We like real preachers. That foolishness, I don't have time for you. I'm not inviting you over here and you full of foolishness. You letting the devil rule and reign and you are now not here. I got to bring the truth to the people because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Amen goes right there. Amen goes right there this morning. Yeah. See, God was that way yesterday. He's that way today. He will be that way forevermore. He does not change. And if we change in the spiritual things and anointed things of God, that means he's not there because he won't change. That's you changing. Yeah. And I want to change for the better because of him. Or it will glorify him. I don't want to change for me. Mm-mm. No, it won't do me no good changing for me. I can't save nobody. I can't heal nobody. Only he can. And the changes I make, I want to make changes because of him, because it's pleasing and acceptable unto him. And the change he made in me and through me, he going to use it to draw somebody else to him because I'm going to lift him up. Oh, he going to do something for somebody else, not just for me and mine. And see, I don't think like that. I don't think about me and mine. I'm not that kind. I love my sons. I love my daughters. Yes, I do. I love my grandchildren, my great-grand. I do. But all of that mixing and mingling, if you're not in him and he's not in you and you're not doing what he said, I don't want no part of it. I'm honest. Yeah. And they tell me, A.L., that's her favorite. Oh, she said, that's her. No, it's not just so much A.L. my favorite. A.L. accepted his calling as a minister, a pastor, and today he's a bishop. His wife is a pastor. A.L. gonna have church every Sunday. Every Wednesday night, he gonna have Bible study. When I call him, he gonna tell me about the things that God been doing. You see? How can two walk together except they agree? I don't care what part of the family you related to me. If you ain't doing what he would have you to do, guess what? I'm not doing what you want me to do. No, I got, he said, come out from among them and be separated. That's what I did. I separated. I gave the devil back all his tools, and I meant it when I did it. Yeah, I meant that. I decided to make Jesus my choice. And every day I want him to be my choice. No need for me to go back. Ain't nothing back there. No need for me to be a part of the world. And I can't be that. Yeah. Now, I am careful because, like I say, I don't really want to offend nobody. I don't really want to hurt nobody's feelings. I don't want to do all of that. But when it comes to the things of God, if it hurts your feelings, say ouch and keep it moving. Because he's the way again this morning, the truth and the life. Listen, the studio is open. If anyone has something they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in. And where Brother Anthony went? Brother Anthony, tell the baby I said happy birthday and tell him he got the world's beautiful hair. All that hair so beautiful, Brother Anthony. He done grew up. I said, what? 18? Who turned 18? He going to stop that making me old, Brother Anthony. You tell him I said he going to stop that making me old, but we thank God for another year for it. I mean, handsome young man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's already all right this morning in Jesus' name. Good morning to you, Pastor David. God bless you. God bless you. Good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman. Good morning to you, Brother Anthony. Good morning to you, Sister Irene. God bless you this morning. Thank God for you. Sister Jerry must have slept in today. She didn't ease in there. Yeah. And I think I saw Sister Rita. Did I see Sister Rita earlier? Oh, there she go. Good morning to you, Sister Rita. God bless you. God bless you. And I may have seen Rose Brown, but she may have to run to go do something. But I thank God this morning for each and every one. And thank God for those that come through the archives and the podcast. All that just bless my heart real good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I am I did an interview somewhere, and I got to remember it because so much has gone on in between that little bit of time. But the lady that did it, oh, I want to call her name. She blessed me real good with that interview. And we both were excited to do it, and she would tell, well, I hear you talking about Bishop Charles Woods, and I hear you talk about Brother Louis. Yeah, and I hear you talk, and it was just exciting to hear somebody outside that come in and know. And then I had, what is that woman name? Y'all got to forgive me. I got a lot I got to get done this morning when it's like that stuff running through me, through my mind. But Foot, Angela Foot, Anna Lee Foot, that's that mom and daughter team. And Angela used to tell me, she said, Sister Barbara, I feel like I know all these people you talk about. I feel like I know Brother Louis. Oh, it's just, I just feel like I'm a part. And that was a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. And right to this day, when Angela get ready, she'll send me a blessing. Right to this day, she don't say none. She don't write none. She just send it straight to me. And she do. And that's the lady that do the operating stuff. You know, hand the doctor all the operating tools in the operating room. Angela Foot. And her mom is Sister Anna Lee Foot down there by Pensacola down in that way. Yeah, right here in Florida. And I had said one day we was all going to get together, but I think when Angela come from Alaska here, I don't forgot what was going on, but I wasn't able to make it. Yeah, but God know the perfect timing when we all get together. And her mom may not be doing all that cooking like she used to, but she still may be cooking. But she would tell me when she went home, you know, how she would cook and, you know, help mom and daddy out down there. And it was a few of them, too. And they all did something, basically, I think, with their lives. And so I'm grateful unto God to just to know her and her mom. It's good enough for me. Yeah. And I'm just happy. I'm just happy today. Thinking back on some things, Bishop Gerald Scott and Teresa Scott. And just thinking back on some days, back from the old days, they were here. Yeah. And we used to have many good times right here in the morning. And so I'm thankful unto the Lord for that. And no one have anything they would like to say this morning? Everybody sleep or everybody busy this morning? Well, all right, please. I didn't see Sister Samoa in there today either. But she'll probably creep on in. I got to call her, matter of fact. See, if I say it on the air, I'm going to do it. I'm going to remember to do it because I didn't write it down. But I got to call Samoa and Sister Mari. And please keep Sister Mari's mom in prayer. Sister Sherry and Nikki, y'all keep them in prayer. Hallelujah. We know what prayer can do. Yeah, and this is serious business. Yeah, they need your prayer. Our prayers, yeah. So we lift them up to the Lord. All right, Brother Anthony, coming at you right now. Good morning, sir. God bless you. How are you? I can't hear nothing, Brother Anthony. Your mic open. I don't know where you are, but I can't hear you.
Hello?
All right, I can hear you now.
All right. I had to switch on my car thing. Just instant acting funny. But I just want to say good morning to everybody. God bless everybody. First of all, I just want to hear God. Thank you for waking up this morning. I thank God for life, health, and strength. Keep in my right mind. Now I need to see another day I never seen before. Thank God for activity of my limbs. And I just thank God for who he is to be, what he's doing, and where he brought me from, where he takes me at. Blessed to be here another day. You know, just to know that God got his hands on me, and I'm alive and well and blessed. And I just want to just say good morning to everybody, and God is continue to keep me in y'all prayers. Y'all have a blessed Thursday, blessed the week. If I don't get back to you. But I just wanted to say good morning to everybody, and just blessed to be here, and alive and well, just excited. I just thank him for the father, you know, I just take him back, you know, from So just in general, you know, just love, just having love and being love and, you know, just think about, you know, so even my children, you know, just, you know, all alone, but, you know, that person, Charlie, you know, something else.
That's your decision.
know, if that's what you want to do, then, you know, I support you in it. I feel he's going to do what he needed to do, you know, make him get your accomplished. So, you know, I gotta honor that, you know, they ain't got to force him, you know, like he, so at least he do want to work, you know, we got some children out here that don't want to work, they just want to go run the street, because that's all they know, you know, that. The thing is, you know, you got to instill that in them, too, you know, that work ethic. So that's something that I did over the years, and he's seen, you know, things that I went through and, you know, what I accomplished, you know, in my lifetime, you know. And so it's just me that all just wanted to say that and say also, y'all, like I asked, continue to keep me in prayer and y'all have a
blessed
and awesome day, and
the rest of
this weekend. Amen.
Amen, Brother Anthony. Amen. Amen. And we just lift him up in prayer, all your boys, that God would bless them and they would be what the Lord would have them to be and get to where God would have them to go. And not even what you per se want or the mother per se want, what God will have them to do. Because you know what, in looking at him yesterday, he'd been through the storm and lots of rain, Brother Anthony, and the end result would be a great testimony. Yeah, I could see that, a great testimony. Yeah. Now, another thing, he might go through more than one wife, I'm just here to tell you, but eventually he's going to be where he need to be. Yeah, because he's looking at you, and he see how you pray and how you talk about God and everything. Yeah, eventually. Yeah, we just trust God for him and keep him in prayer and keep it moving. Yeah, and I believe he's going to make some good decisions in his life because there are things he want to do and places he want to go. So he'll start looking, you know, to see, well, what I'm going to do to get there, this and that. Yeah, and it won't be the streets. It won't be the streets or the worldly way either, but a good way. Yeah, God is able. God is able. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else have something they would like to say this morning? Feel free to press that number one. We have a little time and come in. All right, if not, I will pray us out. And I thank God for each and every one this morning. And again, those that are coming through the archives and the podcast, thank God for you. Hallelujah. We thank God for Jesus this morning. yeah. All right. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for all that has been said and done. Thank you for Bishop Scott coming through sharing with us today. Lord, I truly enjoyed it. It's been a long time. Thank you for Teresa Scott tuning in with us, oh God, to listen. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. Father, we lift up your name in the earth. You said if you be lifted up, you'll draw all men unto you. And Lord, we all need a drawing today unto you. And Father, we ask this morning that those that are sick, every caller and every listener, that you would heal this morning in the name of Jesus. Bless every family here, every family represented, every household member, every family member, every friend, Father, near and far, bless today. You know what they're standing in need of. Move in a mighty way on their behalf this day, May the 8th, 2024, in the precious name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would bless those that are incarcerated today, those that are in every branch of the military, our administration of our military today, oh God. And Father, we ask that you would bless widowers and bereaved families and intercessory prayer people, preachers, Israel, Jerusalem, our brothers and sisters everywhere overseas today. Bless, Father, as only you can do in the name of Jesus. Bless our country here, God. Bless the leadership. Have mercy this morning, oh God, on the leadership of our country, America, oh God. Father, fix their hearts and regulate their minds in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let them remember you, Almighty God, and not just in words. But in action, you're Almighty God who have all power. There's no higher power. Remind them today, without you, they can do nothing. Help your leadership in America, oh God, to come wholeheartedly back to you. We bind up every evil and hindering and negative spirit. If it's not of you, Father, we ask that you would rebuke it for your name's sake, in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. And Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And as we depart this morning, bless our going out. Father, bless our coming in. Meet the need in our lives today, according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank you right now. Amen and hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So look, I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, May the 8th, 2024. And at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we're going to our last song of the morning. And after this song today, I won't be coming back. But have
goodbye,
a blessed
evangelist.
Bye, Bishop. God bless you. God bless you.
I wanted to stay on. I'm so excited about the show. I stayed on to the end.
Oh, good. We thank God. All right. Bye-bye, Bishop.
Bye-bye.
Hallelujah. Well, come on now. What, they don't want to do it? Okay, now, wait a minute. Stop it, I say. Where is this? All right. Let's see if this one will play.
Done.